Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epic Florida Project, episode number 23. We've got a lot to get through today, so before we get to that, I just want to introduce my podcast partner in crime. I'm Mr. Phil Gard. How are you, dude?
Howdy ho, everybody. I hope everyone at home is doing well.
I'm having a beer. I don't care. But yeah, I'm an alcoholic. But yeah, guys, we've got quite a bit to get through today, so
get it on.
Oh, that's nice.
Let's get it on.
Get back in. He's just singing away to himself here. So, I made a few notes earlier on of little bits I noted about the other day. So, was it 2 days ago? Ian Gwazi were filming a new commercial because I believe that is going to be ready to be opening very, very soon. So, ooh, they've done a new commercial. This will be out probably just after, but it is the last weekend of the Haunts in Halloween Horror Nights and Howl's Scream, SeaWorld, and Busch Gardens. I forgot the name of it then. But while we were talking about Halloween Horror Nights, we didn't say we were going to talk about that much about it, but have you watched any of the videos yet of the houses? Yeah, you haven't, have you? But I have.
I saw a few at the beginning of it when they let the press people in.
Right, well, I went through them and I watched them today. So I thought I'd give a quick little oversight of what I think Halloween Horror Nights 30, which we can't get to because the borders are opening in a week and a half. And we'll explain that after I just say this bit. So we have Bride, the Bride of Frankenstein. I thought it was a great entrance. Loved the nod to the other monsters all the way through it. And the vinyl sheeting does not help this house, though, because that vinyl sheeting is a bit crap. If you want to know more in depth, listen to the last one with John Self. He goes into a bit more depth, and I gave that one a 9 out of 10. Texas, I put Texas Chainsaw Massacre, by the way. Love how they start the outside. You start on the outside, and the black light room was a bit weird. I don't know if anyone knows that, but a bit weird. And then I give that a 7 out of 10. And Tooth Fairy, I think my silence says it all. Well, to be honest, mate, I was watching the video and all the furries were doing was scratching. We were just scratching. It's like, that's not very scary. So I gave that a 4. Halloween Horror Nights captured. Nice to see the icons all together. Solid house. All the icons change on the throne. Only problem is there was a lot of dummies in there rather than actors. So I gave that an 8. Scary. Nice to see a lot of the older houses and scare zones of the house. Posters of older houses inside of houses, if that makes sense, if you know what I'm talking about. Did anyone see the cameo of Mike Aiello? I saw it. First thing I did. But I gave that an 8 out of 10. Pumpkin Lord, Realm of the Pumpkin, or whatever it is. Great facade, lots of actors and scare zones. Love the giant pumpkin puppet. Bit of dead space in the middle. Give that an 8 out of 10. Puppet. I can't remember the name of it. But I'm just going off list what I put on here. Phil's getting bored out of his face now. I can see it. But I gave Puppet a solid 7. Not too bad. House of Haunted Hill, I gave that an 8. I don't know what I wrote there, but it said wrong. Beetlejuice, the tunnel was in there. I enjoyed that bit. And that was, I would say, that was a good solid 9. And the Cases one, which is Legendary Truth, I gave that a 9, but I hated the doll room. And out of a Halloween Horror Nights, Halloween Nightmare Fuel, now that show is worth watching. I really did enjoy watching that. So you've not seen any of it then?
No.
I don't think it did.
I'm not being rude, but I've heard that Halloween Horror Nights 30 should just be forgotten. Just like Halloween Horror Nights Light. And I hear, just off the grapevine, and not being biased at all, because I'll be at next year's Halloween Horror Nights 31 is going to be the better one.
Right. Well, we shall find out next year. Moving on to other news I found. The world's tallest slingshot and freestanding drop tower. The slingshot is in place. Bill, the tower has now been topped off. So that has now been erected. I can wait for Phil to start smirking. It's been erected and topped off. See, I knew I'd get him. But it's finally been finished. It's now just got the little bits and bats I've got to finish off to get it ready. And I believe an opening date of December.
Oh, so I've actually been rumoured.
They're not saying what when in this the December. It just says
23rd.
Well, officially on Icon Park's website, it says coming late 2021. So literally, we're in November as of when this comes out. So the only time I can think it, because there's still a lot to do yet. There's still got a lot of testing to do. So I personally think that's going to be December. And if you want a bit of insight into the thing, into the what I was just talking about, the Orlando Slingshot and Orlando Freefall. The Slingshot is, where has it gone? I just had it all up there. Yeah, I lost it. It's standing at 300 feet and it will mark the largest, the world's tallest slingshot. The two towers will launch riders out of an explosive volcano approximately 450 feet straight into the sky, reaching speeds of up to 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's a, well, 1,000 subscribers. And the Orlando Freefall will start, is going to stand at 430 feet. It makes it the world's tallest freestanding drop tower. 30 riders will be able to embrace the beautiful sights of Icon Park and iDrive as the ride rotates around the gigantic tower and rises high into the skyline. Once a ride vehicle reaches the top, it is tilted 30 degrees to face the ground for a brief moment when you'll free fall nearly 400 feet at speeds of over 75 miles per hour. I didn't realise it actually tilted forward. Cool. I knew it rotated, but I didn't realise it tilted forward. So that sounds fun. So that's another local thing happening on in and around Orlando.
Yeah, again, people, so, that's why you should book to stay on International Drive.
Yep. Yeah. So I'll just quickly go through some events coming in November in and around the Orlando area. You've got the Orlando Greek Festival 2021, and it's recurring daily until the 7th of November from the 5th. In Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church of Greater Orlando. Something different you won't find on any other podcast. You've got Happy Hour at the Nook. You've also got, on the 7th of November, you've got Orlando Japanese Festival. It's in Kissimmee Lake Front Park. And then we get to the stuff that everyone has been talking about recently. You've got Disney's Very Merry Merriest After Hours starting from the 8th of November. Busch Gardens Christmas Town starts on the 12th of November, and Downtown for the Holidays, which is in downtown Orlando, starts on the 12th of November, and Universal's Christmas Celebrations starts on the 13th of November, and one that I would love to be at, the Orlando Beer Festival, is on the 13th of November. All them are coming soon.
Don't forget
to an area near you.
Did we have the dates for the Universal stuff?
13th.
13th, right, yeah, that's fair enough. And there's not really much. Oh, I've got something that was interesting. Apparently Universal's made a profit in the last calendar year.
Yes, I believe I did see that. 118%
apparently, in terms of profit. That's impressive, because in Disney are hemorrhaging, and Universal basically somehow got it working. I personally think it's down to Universal just let everyone back in the parks.
Yeah, well, they stayed open. They stayed open longer as well. They've not had as many restrictions in. And
it's
all that.
As well, so it's easier to run, isn't it?
Yeah. You think about Walt Disney World as an entity. It's a massive thing, isn't it? It's not just the theme parks. It's the hotels. It's the transportation. It's a lot of things. And Universal don't have that much to look after, because obviously the hotels are run by Universal, the lower price ones. But the older ones are run by laws.
You've actually
so
got
not
point.
Universal.
The Dockside Inn, you think about it, opened December last year. So that's an extra profit what's been added on what wouldn't have been there the years before. And then obviously they shut down so on that. But through the year they've opened every hotel again. So that is actually probably helped the profit a lot. Why Disney sort of dragged out bringing their hotels back.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. While we'll talk about Universal, something just popped into my head. It was I know we weren't going to say about rumours, but this is not, well, it is a rumour, but it's also does coincide with what's happening. People might notice that Fast and Furious Supercharge will be down for a few weeks.
When?
Soon, within the next couple of weeks.
December.
No, it's having a bit of a refresh.
Get rid of Fast and Furious. That's a refresh.
Well, the rumor, there's a rumor going around that this was supposed to be happening early on this year, but because of COVID and other things, they couldn't get it done. But It was from Alicia Stella. I don't think she listens to us, but we will give a recognition on Theme Park Stop podcast and YouTube channel. She has believes that they are doing an updated video for the tunnel section. So we're going to be more up to date in line.
We're not going to have a 600-foot rock. And what
no,
is
it? It's Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel. Yeah.
Well, she actually did explain about that. Don't forget that video was made for 3D. Yeah. And it's not in 3D. So if you've got the 3D, it just makes things bigger. And that makes sense. She did say they might bring back the 3D. Well, this shutdown's been done because she did a little video. I'll send the link over to it. It will be in the show notes for what she said. But there's a possible rumour that Fast and Furious Supercharged is getting a bit of an update Shrek closes.
If it has a new video, I will go and check it out and see if it's still as bad.
Yeah. So that's everything I've got today, I think.
Have you?
Is there anything else?
Well, there's only one more thing we need to really bring up. Do you remember the whole criteria for what international travel has to do?
Summary. This is a summary, and this is a fact sheet. Yeah, but this is a fact sheet that was sent out by the Biden administration for international travel. And I've seen a lot of people get confused about it. It is not confusing. Just read it a couple of times, and it sinks in. It's simple. So basic, start from the beginning. I won't read all the jargon at the beginning, because that's all the legal stuff, but I'll just read out what it says about every traveller over the age of 18 must be fully vaccinated with a few and very limited exceptions. Right. So fully vaccinated, starting on the 8th of November, non-citizen, non-immigrant air travel to the United States will be required to be fully vaccinated and to provide proof of vaccination status before boarding the airplane to fly to the US. So you don't have to supply it in the US. It has to be supplied before you get on the plane.
Do you know what? Before you go any further, I think that is actually down to US law. They're not allowed to, by law, ask you
exactly proof. So that's why it's being done before you get onto the plane. Proof of vaccination. This is where everyone's getting confused. I don't understand why. But for foreign nationals, proof of vaccination will be required with very limited exceptions to board the plane. Passengers will need to show their vaccination status, and the airlines will need to. And this is what the airlines have to do, not the US, but the airlines. They must match the name and date of birth to confirm the passenger is the same person on the proof of vaccination. Determine that the record was issued by an official source, i.e. public health authority, the government agency in the country where the vaccine has been given. So if you've been vaccinated in France, your vaccination status won't cover you coming into England, leaving from England. That's how I'm interpreting that one. That's where I think people are getting confused. You've got to be leaving the country where you've been vaccinated, really. So, review the essential information, determined if the passenger needs CDC detention, the definition of fully vaccinated, such as proof of vaccination, name of vaccines. So really what you need to do when you've got proof of vaccination is to have the batch number, what vaccine you've had, the date it was given, and you've been at least two doses. Unless you've had the Johnson & Johnson, which I don't think anyone in the UK is having that, it must be 2 weeks after your second dose.
Yeah, 14 days.
So that is a definition of fully vaccinated. The Biden administration will work closely with airlines to ensure this is being done. At this moment in time, there is accepting vaccines are anything by the CDC that's been approved, and anything that has been approved as an emergency vaccine by the WHO. So AstraZeneca is included. Pfizer has been approved anyway. And Moderna has already been approved. So if you've had one of them three vaccines in the UK, because they're the only three you can get, you're fine. It's as simple as that. Don't have to worry about anything else. If you've had any of them three, you're fine. If you're like me, who's had a vaccine trial, I can't. I'm actually stuck at the moment because I need to find out whether my vaccine will go onto the trial list. Because if it's a trial list, I'm not going to go into that details. It is there, but mine's not on it. So I'm currently in limbo at the moment, which I've been talking about the trial, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that. But at this moment, if you've had any vaccine in the UK, you're fine. Right? So don't get yourself more confused than you have to be. Anyone under the age of 18, doesn't need to be fully vaccinated. Plain and simple. That is it. There's no, oh, well, my child's 17. Don't matter. Under 18s do not need to be fully vaccinated. This is where people do get confused. The testing. If you're fully vaccinated, you must take a PCR or lateral flow test up to three days before you fly. I don't know how that is more simple than that.
Yeah, basically, the people, only, if you're confused, say you fly on a Monday, the earliest you can do it, the earliest you can do it is on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then
it must be within 72 hours of you getting on that plane. Simple as that.
And then, so you can do it on a Friday, just do it whatever time you want on a Friday, midday onwards, because most flights are around that time anyway. And the latest you can leave it, well, if you've got time, you can risk it. You can do it on the Monday morning, but I wouldn't recommend it. The latest I would leave it is the day before. And what you say, PCR and lateral flow? Me personally, I'm going lateral flow. If anybody's wondering, I am double vaccinated, obviously. I don't want to do a PCR. One, what costs more money, and two, I have to wait for the result 8 to 24 hours. When you do a lateral flow and you'll get it back in 15 minutes, it just seems like a given to me that you want to put yourself in more panics if you do a PCR.
Exactly. And then we'll get to the one where everyone online seems to be really confused about the children side. It is simple as this. If you are fully vaccinated, your child can take the test at the exact same time as you. If the child is traveling on their own or you are not vaccinated and the child is not vaccinated, it must be done within 24 hours of flight getting on that plane. But that's where the confusion comes in. At the moment, it doesn't state anywhere that unvaccinated people can travel to the United States. You must be vaccinated. So the only way a child will go there is to be traveling on their own. They're traveling on their own, under 18, which it is legal allowed to do. That's fine. But their test must be done within 24 hours of getting on that plane.
Just a quick one. Does it sound there as well about the people who's had COVID?
Yes, there is a... you've got to wait 4 weeks after you've had a COVID. If you've had COVID-19 and diagnosed with it, you can't do another test within 4 weeks of catching COVID.
They can get a certificate as well to say...
Yes, you get that for the NHS. You get it for the NHS COVID pass. So that's another... That's just classed as another proof of vaccination. But that's just a quick summary of everything. And when it does state, when do you fly in, you agree to contact tracing through the airline while you're in the US, which it's understandable. So I hope that is actually not as made you more confused. It's just plain and simple. PCR test, lateral flow test, 3 days before you go. That's it, as long as you're fully vaccinated.
I understand
there's going to be people out there who are not vaccinated, and they're the ones who are, well, I want to go, I want to do this, I want to do that. At the moment, the US have said you've got to be fully vaccinated to be entering the US. It's their rules, not ours.
Can I just say something quickly? If anybody is confused and has Twitter, get hold of us on Twitter at TEF Project.
Yes, there's actually a copy of that sheet we have put on Twitter. If you want to go and read it, find us on Twitter at TEF Project, is it?
That's the one.
TEF Project on Twitter. You'll find it. Scroll through our tweets. It's there's three pictures, and you can read it for yourself if you can't find
it. Simple.
So hope that's cleared everything up for you. We did say we'll give you more information when we got it, and we've got it. So if you are going to Florida in the next month, I know that. No, that's a month. Yours is a month and a half.
A month and a week, really, but who cares?
Well, it's still not a month. You're not doing it within the month.
You're not going in the month of November. I am going. So I'm going 6th. So it's less than a month. It opens on the 8th and I'm going on the 6th. Therefore, it's basically a month. Thank you very much.
Well, lucky you. I'm fingers crossed I'm going in February. But that's going to be it for me. So if you could do us a fantastic favour and hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button, and hit that bell. Follow us at TEF Project, LTEF Pod on Twitter, on Instagram, because I did make a promise.
You've confused that there. It's TEF Project on Twitter and TEF Pod on Instagram.
Well, I don't know which one's which, do I? It doesn't tell you what you're... It just says the Epic Florida Project.
Yeah, just look for the Epic Florida Instagram Project. You'll see a picture of me and Simon.
Yeah, we're cartoon people now.
Yes. We've got.
So yeah, we've linked everything together. So when you see that picture of me and Phil, that's all our socials. Links will be in the description anyway. We are going to be more active on social media. So if you could follow us on them platforms, and we shall see you very soon.
Bye.
Take care.